It's a significant week for the country. After more than 100 days of restrictions, the slow process of reopening begins, with schools and some construction back in business and greater personal freedoms for individuals. It's also a week when another 16 countries will be added to the mandatory hotel quarantine list. The US, Canada, Belgium and France are among the latest additions. The updated list has resulted in some people rushing to airports to get home to Ireland ahead of the Thursday deadline. Our reporter Amy Neary spoke to some of those booked on flights out of their respective countries last night.
I'm Jo, I'm French, I've lived in Ireland for 4 years and I am coming from Nice in the south of France and flying into Dublin tonight. My mum had a kind of health crisis yesterday night and she's fine now, she's been looked after, but I would have loved to stay a little bit longer and see how it was going for her. And unfortunately, I can't because I have to get back to Ireland now, or else, you know, I might be stuck in that hotel quarantine and it's just not doable for me in my current situation. It's making me feel unwelcome in this country. It's putting me in a very complicated position. And, you know, it's just making life harder for a lot of people. Like I'm in Paris airport right now. I had a couple of Erasmus students in front of me just like discussing because they had to rush back. I'm going to quarantine in my home anyway.
I'm Aoife Mitchell. I'm a law student from UCD in Dublin and I'm currently in Antwerp, Belgium on my Erasmus. I was initially going to be staying until the start of June and due to the implementation of mandatory hotel quarantine, I have been forced to book a flight for tomorrow morning and I will be returning to Dublin. I'll be continuing my classes and undertaking my exams online, but it is ultimately very crushing. I was initially meant to go for the year, then it became a semester, and now it has become 2.5 months.
Would you be in any way tempted to chance it and hang on till June and hope that the mandatory hotel quarantine being lifted for Belgium?
I did think about that, but I just think due to the fact that there is no word about any subsidisation for students or any way that they could avoid paying the $2,000 for the hotel quarantine, it's too big a gamble to take. These are students' lives that have already been put on hold enough. There is already extremely limited discussion from the government regarding third level, and this is just another slap in the face at this point. Not to mention the fact that we will have to continue paying rent in a country that we now cannot stay in.
My name's Cathy Farley and I'm from Longford, but I'm currently in Vancouver in Canada. My visa is coming to an end at the end of this month and I was planning on leaving in around mid-May. I was going to take some time, get to see all my friends, and I rang my parents like I usually do at lunchtime on Friday. We talked about my options and realistically the only one was to kind of make that quick rush home. So just had to get on, book the flights. I was afraid they might get booked up. Told my work that I was going to be gone and working online. Just had to start running around the city trying to sell my car, trying to get rid of my belongings. Like, it's been a pretty wild weekend. So I don't think it's actually hit me yet. I've told my friends that I'm leaving, but I at the same time, I don't think I've even dealt with it yet. I think I'll be at home in Longford now on Wednesday morning in my own room and I'll just be like, what just happened? I'm trying to fit my life now into a couple of bags. So I have to pay extra for my checked bags. I'm just out of the doctors now getting my PCR test. That cost about $250. And then there was an extra hidden fee of $50 to get the actual printout of the certificate that you're going to need to show at the airport. All of these expenses I was going to have to do anyway. And then I was going to have to do the €2,000. I definitely am saving by coming back. I'm still going to isolate, but they can't trust everybody to do that.
And that was Amy Neary reporting there. The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, is with us. And Minister, we'll go right in. Was that your intention when you left a gap between the announcement of these additional 16 countries and the implementation of mandatory hotel quarantine for those coming from those countries? Was it your intention that you would give the opportunity to people like the young people speaking to Amy there, the opportunity to get home and escape the hotel quarantine?
Good morning, Mary. The intention of the gap is really to give people the opportunity to book into mandatory hotel quarantine. Inevitably, if you have a gap between when you announce a country will be on a Category 2 list and when you go live with that a few days later, there will be people who look to get in ahead of that. That's perfectly perfectly natural that they would. What I would emphasise, though, is that for the the pieces you've just played, it is people coming in from countries that we are designating as category two, because we are very concerned, and indeed public health are very concerned about the high rate of variants in those countries. So really, the purpose is to have mandatory hotel quarantine as an additional measure. Obviously, there's mandatory home quarantine already in place to guard against the importation of these variants.
But if you are that concerned, Minister, and public health is that concerned about these new variants in these specific countries, countries like France, countries like Belgium, Canada, Italy, I think, on that list as well. If you are that concerned, why such a gap? You announced it last week and you're not implementing it until next Thursday.
Yeah, we announced it. We agreed it on Friday night. Really, it's to make sure that people have the time to book into quarantine. What we don't want is a situation whereby you have a lot of people who are already scheduled to come back to Ireland, who arrive into Dublin Airport or Rossall Airport or anywhere else, and they haven't booked. What we want is a system that can be managed whereby people can book. And for those people who arrive in between the designation and the day it goes live, remember, there's still a lot of measures in place, as was covered there. There's a mandatory pre-flight PCR test, and there is still mandatory home quarantine in place as well.
I come back again, though, to the time lapse, the lapse of time between the announcement, the decision on Friday, and implementation on Thursday. You say it's to allow them to book, but you can book mandatory hotel quarantine overnight. There appears to be, and the Sunday Independent reported it yesterday as well, a race now to get on flights to get to Ireland ahead of Thursday.
Inevitably, when you categorise any state as category two, there is going to be a few days and there is going to be a bit of this. But in the main, what we're going to see is we're going to see a very significant reduction in travel from these countries, which is exactly what we want. And then for those people who do have to come home for exceptional reasons, we have the additional security measure in place.
How much of a reduction in travel from these countries do you need to be able to cope and to be able to provide sufficient hotel rooms?
The capacity is calculated on an 80% reduction. What we saw in the UK, for example, was between an 80 and a 95% reduction. We've seen for the first 33 countries a very significant reduction. But it is one of the challenges of hotel quarantining, is you're putting capacity in place based on assumptions that you have to wait and see what the reduction is. Obviously, if we have less of a reduction than that, we'll bring more capacity online.
Have you the facility to bring more capacity? If you have only a 70% reduction, will you be able to meet the numbers needing mandatory hotel quarantine?
We'll bring more capacity online. So at the moment, we have about 650, a little more than 650 beds. That's being ramped up to an excess of 1,100, and there is the facility to go significantly above that. It is the case, though, as with the New Zealand system, the Australian system and other quarantine systems, that you may not in all cases be able to have a room allocated on every single day that you may want to travel.
Might you have to, at some stage, look at a cap on the numbers coming into the country?
It's possible. Certainly, that's the system that the Australians and the New Zealanders run. The way that would work really is allocation based on room availability. But the system that we have in place, what we want to do is we want to match supply to demand. But obviously, when it's impossible to know exactly what the reduction is going to be, you add capacity as you go.
Now, I want to talk about those court cases that are now not going ahead. But in doing so, would you just clarify for us maybe the criteria for deciding on mandatory hotel quarantine and what countries it's going to apply to? Is it variants of concern, or is it high incidence of COVID, or is it both?
For the EU, it's variants of concern. That's the single biggest priority for me and the single biggest priority for public health. Outside of the EU, the public health team have applied three criteria. The first is variants of concern, and then the second and third are about very high incidence rates. The first of those is if a country has a 14-day rate over 500, and the second is if a country has a 14-day incident rate more than 2.5 times Ireland's rate.
Because we have countries like Poland with very high incidence, or countries like Hungary. I think India is well excluded from the list at the moment. Why are some countries in and some countries which appear to meet the criteria you're setting out not included?
The countries that meet the criteria will be included. So for the EU, it's specifically variant of concern countries. And then for the rest of the world, it's the multiple criteria.
You know, the opposition would say that you're still not going far enough. You'll now have, I think, 33 plus 16, 49 countries included. They would say you need to go further. All non-essential travel should be included. Is that ultimately where we're headed, Minister?
No, it's not, Mary. And actually, the public health advice is that as the vaccine program rolls out here and around the world, particularly around Europe, that we'll be moving to a system whereby people who are vaccinated and can be verified as vaccinated, for example, will have much freer travel. So the EU Green Passport or Green Cert is one very interesting project that's being put in place. To the point that some in the opposition are making that we should add the whole world, We can't legally add the whole world. You have to have a basis for which to add these countries. It's a very serious thing, obviously, we're doing, particularly with the EU, where freedom of movement, freedom of travel is one of the cornerstones of the EU. So you have to have a bar where you can say this very serious measure we're bringing in. And we heard at the start of the interview just how much of a problem it is for Irish citizens and for others, residents here in Ireland. It's a very serious thing we're doing. And so you have to have a reasonable bar to say these countries represent a real risk to public health in Ireland.
You removed three countries from that list, Israel being one of them, and you flagged that Israel was being removed from last week, from last Friday, I think. But why was it then that Derek Jennings and Inbar Wieser had to continue with their legal challenge until yesterday, when they were allowed to leave their mandatory hotel quarantine?
There'd usually be, in the same way that it takes we take a few days in putting countries on the list, there was just a lag from designating them as no longer Category 2 countries to taking them off. But I think what the High Court cases show, to your previous question on can we not just add everyone in the world, I think the High Court cases demonstrate that is not the case. And it also, I think, demonstrates the complexity of running a system like this, where not only was it Israel, but it was Albania and the island of St. Lucia as well. So we're looking at every single jurisdiction right around the world to determine on any given day whether or not they represent a risk in terms of variants of concern or very, very high incidence rates of COVID.
The success of our emerging from this lockdown now and gradually reopening the economy, a lot of that is contingent on the successful rollout of the vaccine programme and the scaling up of the vaccine programme, 180,000 vaccines this week. Can that be delivered, and can it be delivered given worries now about AstraZeneca and perhaps some new guidance coming from NIAC on who can and who cannot receive that vaccine?
Specific to the NIAC guidance, obviously we'll just need to wait and see what they say. They've given guidance previously on various vaccines and age groups, and that has all been implemented. It comes at a big operational challenge. There's no question about it. But the state has stood up to that challenge each time and maintained a very strong proportion of 95% of vaccines that have come into the country have been administered. Obviously, there's some that are held back for the second doses. That is still our intent. But obviously, the cornerstone of our vaccination program is safety first. So we'll wait to see what NIAC says. And if there are operational changes that need to be made, we'll make them. They're not always easy to make. But the HSE has stepped up to that challenge each time.
Yeah, but what is the plan? Because the Taoiseach has talked about delivering first doses of over 80% by June. Now, AstraZeneca, for April, May and June, makes up about 21% of the vaccines to be delivered if NIAC follows what has happened in other countries and recommends that it only be used in older people. How are you going to make up the shortfalls?
Well, first of all, let's wait and see what NIAC says. Certainly at the moment, if the vaccines come in as they are forecast to do, then by the end of June, 4 in every 5 adults who wants a vaccine will be in a position to be offered one. So it really is a great cause for hope, particularly on a day like today where we're taking a cautious but an important step out of the pandemic.
Yeah, but Minister, you have to be the man with the plan. We can't just depend on hope. You have to have a contingency in case you have to row back on the rollout of AstraZeneca. And what is it?
That's right, Mary. All I'm saying is there's not much point engaging in, well, what if NIAC say this or this or this? We'll have word from NIAC very shortly. And when we do, if the operations do need to be adjusted, we can adjust them. But importantly, NIAC
in adjusting them, Minister, just on that, can you still guarantee delivery of that 80% by June that the Taoiseach has promised?
Well, Mary, what I'm saying is we have to wait to see what NIAC says in terms of any potential operations
but the deadlines,
for the programme.
The deadlines and delivery.
Well,
and
the delivery.
The 80% by June, which people are depending on for first doses.
Well, it depends what NIAC says. We don't know what NIAC is going to say.
So
well,
NIAC could change those numbers, could it, Minister?
Well, NIAC have given several recommendations that had serious operational implications. Now, the HSE stepped up to them each time, and critically, the pace of the rollout didn't change. So I think rather than speculating on what NIAC might say, I think let's wait to see what they say, and let's wait to see if there are any operational implications. But it has always been and remains the approach for this programme that we get the vaccines out as soon as they arrive here. And to date, that has been achieved, including in the context of significant decisions from NIAC.
Minister, just finally, you're on the front page of the Irish Times. Donnelly queries exclusion from department tweets. It said you looked for an analysis of tweets and retweets of you and your Twitter feed from the department as compared to your constituency colleague, Simon Harris. You did this in January at a time when we had escalating COVID numbers. Why would you do that?
I believe it was a piece of work that one of the team was looking at, Mary. I haven't seen the article, but I believe it was one piece of work that somebody was looking at
The article says it was an analysis that you looked for, and on your behalf, the Secretary General of your department was contacting your publicity, your communications people, saying. We need to discuss this. There's no reference to the minister, as you can see. This was an analysis Was it an analysis that you wanted?
No, like I say, Mary, I haven't seen the article. It's a piece of work that somebody did within the department, and it came up presumably in an FOI request. I'd have to take a look.
Minister Stephen Donnelly, thank you very much for joining us on Morning Ireland.